Judge Sire would work fine.
Emperor Sire.
What time is it? Are we? It's 6. Okay. Well, then let's go ahead and convene. Is that okay? Are you recording? Okay. This is the meeting for North Salt Lake City Appeal Authority to hear the request for a variance. I don't know if we have a case number on it, but it's a variance request regarding 25 East Pacific Avenue. I'm Glenn Bronson. I guess the appeal authority, is that the proper designation? Would parties please make their appearance?
David Church is going to represent the city on this.
Okay.
Michael Pate, I'm representing the customer, which is Biggie Crane.
Okay. Also, your name is Michael Pate?
Michael Pate, and also the fence company, which is Century Security.
So you represent Biggie Equipment?
B-I-G-G-E, Biggie.
Okay, and you also represent?
Century Security Systems, LLC, which is the installer and owner of the electric security fence.
Okay, are you? Okay.
Better sound system here, Allison.
All right, I guess maybe we ought to, set that up.
Michael Pate, I'm with Century Security Systems, representing Century Security Systems as well as Biggie Crane.
But you're an employee of Century
Security Systems? I'm an employee of Century, that's correct.
Okay, I understand these proceedings are being recorded so that we have a record. And for everybody, let's all try to speak into a microphone so that we have a good, clear record. And let's do our best not to talk over each other, because at some point in time this may have to be transcribed, and that's very difficult for transcribers. Okay, Mr. Church, would you please go first?
Yes, thank you. Let me just say that this comes before you as a request for a variance, which is a fairly straightforward thing. It is allowed under both Utah State Code and under the City Code. Variance requests, though, are fairly structured under both the State Code and the City Code. And the purpose of a variance is not to do a favor for someone, but is to make sure that a property owner has the same rights as everybody else in their same zone. And so an applicant, in order to get a variance, has to prove to you as the appeal authority that five conditions exist. They will have the burden to prove, first, that the literal enforcement of the ordinance would cause unreasonable hardship on the applicant that is necessary to carry out the general purpose of the land use ordinances, and secondly, that there are special circumstances attached to their property that do not generally apply to other property, and thirdly, that granting the invariance is essential to their enjoyment of a substantial property right possessed by other similar property in the same zone that they don't have, and fourth, that the variance will not substantially affect the general plan and be contrary to the public interest, and that fifth, the spirit of the land use ordinance is observed and substantial justice is done. Just by way of background, we've laid out to you the city's position in a memorandum, which I believe you have a copy of and the applicant has a copy of.
Mr. Pate, do you have that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The background is laid out in that. Basically, Biggie Equipment and their sign company wanted to install an electric fence on their property. Their property is located in an MD zone. The requirements for an electric fence are set out in the city code, and in our memorandum we have set out what those requirements are. The requirements of the code as it's set out would require them to have a significant setback from the public street. This property is on a corner lot, so they would be required to have a significant setback from two sides of the property. And the ordinance also requires that on an electric fence that there be a solid non-electric fence between the public rights of way and the electric fence. My understanding is they've requested a variance from the setback provisions and have requested a variance from the solid wall provisions of the ordinance.
Is there a specific request for the variance for the setback? Is there are they asking for a specific footage setback different than 20 feet?
I think we'll let them express what they're requesting the variance. Our position would be, with this brief introduction, that it's their burden to go forward and prove those elements, and then we're ready to respond to their presentation. Our position is, of course, that we're here to not necessarily keep a property owner from doing what he wants to do, but we have an obligation to protect the integrity of the ordinance itself, and that a variance is only appropriate under those unique circumstances. And if what they're asking for is really for us to ignore the ordinance or change the ordinance and not grant the variance as allowed by state law, then this isn't the proper form. They need to go to the city council to change an ordinance, and of course we don't have authority to ignore the ordinance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Church.
Easy way to get photographs.
I thought he'd run off because I was so eloquent.
Mr. Pate?
Thank you, sir. I basically agree with Mr. Church as far as the elements are concerned. First of all, the literal enforcement of the setback requirements will cause unreasonable hardship. And you can just look at the photograph that's exhibited from the city and the equipment that's stacked up on the fence line. If there is a requirement to move that equipment back 20 feet from the existing fence line that they're allowed to operate on, it will cause unreasonable hardship for a couple reasons. One, they got to move everything. Number two, it will restrict and contract the yard itself, and in doing so will make it almost, not almost, but unsafe to operate in that restricted space. These are very large pieces of equipment that need a lot of room to be able to pick up and move around. It's really going to affect this business if they're forced to move all this equipment and adhere to a setback that they're not required to adhere to now with the existing perimeter fence. Because all we're asking to do is set an electric security fence inside the existing perimeter fence as it sits right now.
So as it stands, the setback requirement for the fence that is there is something other than 20 feet?
No, the fence that is there is a non-conforming fence that's allowed to be there.
Well, so, I repeat my question. The fence that is there is in compliance with?
Is in compliance because it's a non-conforming fence that was there before the ordinance was passed, is my understanding. So it's a non-conforming fence that is basically grandfathered because it was there before the most current ordinance was passed. That's my understanding.
Okay, you want to change that grandfathered in fence to an electric fence?
No, sir. The electric fence goes behind a perimeter fence. So all we would be doing was mimicking the existing fence line that's there. We're just going to set back about 12 inches inside the existing fence line and electric security fence. Nothing would change on that photograph at all. Everything would stay the same. There would be just 20 strands of wire inside the existing fence line that you can barely see, I might add. It's almost obscured by all the equipment in there. So we're just asking to basically mimic the existing fence line that is already there. The special circumstances that are attached to this are quite clear. It's a corner lot. In other words, now it has two front yards, which is different from almost any other lot out there unless it's literally on a corner. So with two existing front yards, it is an undue burden to, again, have a 20-foot setback, move everything back in there, create a dangerous situation for the employees on the grounds, and basically deny the full use of the property. Which goes to C, actually, which is basically granting the variance is essential to the enjoyment and use of the property. And you can see they're enjoying and using the property as it's fit now. The crane equipment is stacked up right on the fence line. They are using the property as they intended it to be used when they leased the property. It's not the granting of the variance is not contrary to the public interest. Nothing will change on the property as it sits now at all. All we're going to do is put an existing or mimic the existing fence line with another fence.
Well, nothing will change except for inside will be
that's correct.
An electric fence. That's the proposed variance you're requesting.
Correct. Nothing will change.
Changing the property as you said it, they're enjoying and using the property as it stands.
Correct. There, nothing will change as it exists today. So what you see in that photograph is exactly the way the property will look after the electric fence is installed. There will be no changes whatsoever. Everything is right there now. And basically, if you grant the variance, substantial justice will be done because these folks will be able to enjoy and use the property to the full extent that they feel necessary. I really don't have anything else to add, sir. I mean, a few things, obviously, in here that I believe might be incorrect in the memorandum, but it's really not important. Nothing will change as it exists. Now, we also talked about there's one other thing. There's there is a requirement for a, quote, solid fence or solid wall up there.
A requirement for what?
There's, for the electric fences, there's a requirement for a solid fence or wall, which can...
Solid.
Oh, okay.
It's not solid right now. Right now, it is a chain link fence. Solid in the ordinance, I believe, is considered to be a slatted fence. We're agreeable to slat the fence. In other words, you weave a slat between the chain links, making it solid. And if that's agreeable, we'd be glad to go ahead and slat the fence. But otherwise, literally nothing will change granting this ordinance. If you have any other questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Yes, the entity you represent, not Big E Equipment, but the other...
Century Security Systems.
That's your employer?
Yes, sir.
So you're representing Big E Equipment just because they've asked you to appear here?
Yes, Big E is a large customer of mine. I guard a lot of their yards. Big E is a crane operator, as you can tell by the equipment that's in the yard. Basically, what they do is they raise lots of heavy equipment on top of buildings, HVAC units, things like that. There's a lot of very valuable equipment that sits out in these yards, not only their equipment, but also some of their customers' equipment. They have been robbed in the past. The city has acknowledged this. People have broken in there and stolen some equipment, vandalized some other equipment, and they have asked us to put the electric security fence up here. I basically guard almost all their yards except this one. The city staff has also mentioned that, you know, there are other ways to prevent crime. Well, there are other ways to prevent crime, but there's no other way that really does prevent crime. I prevent crime, an electric security fence.
Does Century Security partner with Big E Equipment, or they're merely one of your customers?
Yeah, I basically provide a security service, a very unusual model. I'll go ahead and detail it for you. I do not sell the fence to them. I own the fence. So Big E contracts with me to provide a security service. So I obtain the permits, I install the fence, I maintain the fence.
They commission you to obtain the building permit?
Pardon me?
They commission you to get a building permit?
Yes, they do. And I maintain...
So like a contractor or developer type situation?
Yes. So I maintain the fence and monitor the fence. It's actually also an alarm. So if someone ever breaks the wires, I know someone's gone in there. I will sound an alarm on the premises as well as go through a call list. I really don't call the local police department directly because I'm trying to avoid any type of false alarm fines. So we're going to verify the alarm before we call the North Salt Lake Police Department and tell them something's going on in there.
Do you know who owns the property?
The answer to that's no.
I have no other questions.
Thank you, sir.
Just a couple of preliminaries. You have our memorandum, and it has attachments, which I'm hoping that you have in front of you. And the memorandum, there's attachments 1 through 11, and we want to add to that the photograph that he showed you today, which would be then the 12th attachment.
Okay, I've marked that, by the way, as Exhibit A. 8, because Mr. Pate introduced it.
Okay. So,
Mr. Pate, correct?
So we will not add it to ours. If we're using alphabet, we would want accepted in as our exhibits the attachments to the memorandum, which will include the location map, the application materials submitted by the applicant, which I think should be part of the record there. Then we've included a copy of our electric fence ordinance, the copy of the code relating to variances, copy of the code relating to the hearing officer duties, a copy of the code relating to fencing requirements, the code enforcement file excerpts, and that is what we've done on this, on the enforcement areas, to tell them. Then their building permit application, and let me just say, for purposes of this hearing and for the application, we have no objection to this applicant representing the interest. We do think it's appropriate. They are the applicant. They do. He has been allowed to represent the interests of the property owner for purposes of granting this variance. The email verification, an email verification of the dated May 24th, 2011, the Planning Commission minutes, and the January 3rd City Council minutes. And we'd submit all of those, and I think the other side has a copy of those. And I think that would complete the record for you to review on the variance.
I do not have a location map. I think that's the first thing you mentioned.
It should be attachment one, should be just a location map. We have another packet back there, and we'll make sure that you have that. Now, I don't know how you want to proceed, if you want a little testimony from the staff, or if you'd want us to proceed with just proffer of what they would testify to with that's relevant to this issue.
I think at this point in time, just proffer whatever evidence you have, and if I have a question and the individual's here.
The only additional thing that we would add beyond what's in the memorandum is that we have done a survey of the MD zone and to count the number of lots that are similar to this lot, in other words, being a corner lot in the MD zone, to see how special this lot is or the circumstances of this lot. Mr. Latham would testify that his survey of those lots would be that approximately 40% of all the lots in the MD zone, because of the nature of these large industrial lots, are corner lots. And so this is the type of thing that if people want to get in the electric fence business, it would not be special to this particular piece of property, but would could be applied in quite a bit of the situations. Now let me just talk to the elements of the variance itself specifically. First, we do acknowledge that there is a non-conforming chain link fence on the property that was built there. This has come up because they need a permit not to repair or maintain an existing non-conforming fence, but because they want to build a new fence. They want to build a new electrified fence, which is under a different set of the code. They do have the option to continue with just the non-conforming fence. But if they build a new fence, it is our position that they need to comply with the code, and they do not have a grandfathered status for the new fence. When they
But the variance doesn't, it doesn't affect the non-conforming
exactly.
The request.
Okay. They want a permit, which we have denied, for a new fence. We've denied the permit because their application does not show the proper setbacks required for the new fencing.
So under their request, their continued use of the property as it stands with an existing non-conforming use is not in jeopardy.
Not in jeopardy at all. If they, when they want to put the electrified fence in, though, under our ordinance and our reading of it, we would require that electrified fence to be placed 20 feet in on both frontages. We acknowledge that that will reduce the useful size of their lot for their purposes. There are other purposes that could be used in between that space, obviously, but anything that they want to keep secure inside that electrified fence, they lose that area. We do not think that that is a hardship that is recognizable under the law for this particular reason. It is self-imposed. It's not a hardship imposed by the conditions of the property itself, but a hardship created by the applicant's desires for his use. Under the state statute, a hardship can neither be self-imposed or financial in nature to count towards a variance. That's the primary reason, when we look at these things, that we've made a determination that there is no unreasonable hardship for the applicant, because what they have identified as the hardship is in effect either a financial hardship or a self-imposed hardship created by their own desires for the use, and not a hardship created by special circumstances on this lot. This is not a lot that has unusual shape. It is not a lot that contains unusual features like canals or power easements or things that limit the use of this property in specialized ways. This is a common lot in the MD zone, as I mentioned, the testimony would be approximately 40% of the lots in the MD zones will have corner situations. Therefore, we did not think there was an unreasonable hardship, nor do we think there are special circumstances attached to this particular property. Lastly, let me just say, as you go through our materials and look at it, you will see that our ordinances in this case are fairly specific and very clear on electrified fences. They are written for a specific purpose, and one of those purposes, as is pointed out in the memorandum, is to keep the fence some distance away from the public right-of-way. That's the reason why we have the requirement for the wall between the to keep the fence off. We're not saying a fence is dangerous. Most reasonable people would know not to bother with an electrified fence, but there is the potential for the public to interfere with their use of the fence and the fence to interfere with the reasonable use of the public if it gets too close to the public rights of way and walks. Therefore, we think the ordinance requirements are reasonable and necessary to be applied in the general circumstance, and we think that a variance from those provisions is not required by law or equity in this particular instance.
Can you highlight the particular ordinance that talks about the 20-foot setback?
Yes. Would you hand me that? I left my ordinance over here. Yeah. If you would look at your attachment to your packet and look at ordinance number 2012-2 that says it deals with electric fences. And ordinance 10-133, fence and wall standards. Right. If you look,
I saw 10-1-33B.
Mm-hmm.
A wall or fence shall be a maximum of 6 feet in height, with the exception that any wall or solid fence located within 20 feet
right.
shall be a maximum of 3 feet.
If you look at the electric fence ordinance 10-33C2, down in the section 10.11.3 use regulations, you will see within 20 feet of a public street. Fence and wall standards.
Okay, 10 dash, which one?
It's in the one that looks like that. Ordinance 10 dash, ordinance number 2012-02, which enacted 10-1-33
okay.
C2.
Yeah, subsection A, 2A, fences shall only be allowed for security or outdoor storage. Electric fences shall not be allowed in required front yard setbacks. I was interested in the statute that, or the ordinance.
Right, and then the front yard setback statute is the 20 feet back from the streets and right of way.
And which statute's that?
That's in the zoning ordinance itself, or the MD zone that sets forth the setbacks.
Yeah, I'm not sure you have that.
And we're not, and Ken just tells me we're not sure we gave you the zoning ordinance. Maybe we just assumed that everybody had the and so we may
you
need
have the
to
citation
that
to that.
It's chapter 10-11
of, and that's the, for the MD zone
of the city code. Yes,
of the city code, and there's a table of MD provisions where that would be located.
I didn't see that in my packet. I just.
You don't have that in your.
Okay.
We're sorry. We'll get that to
but
you.
But your representation to me is that that is where the 20-foot setback requirement is set forth.
Well, and if you look, in addition to that, what they did include, and I'm sorry we didn't get the other one, if you look at 10.11.3 use regulations, fence and wall standards, we did copy that for you. You would see that the maximum fence height or maximum wall height within 20 feet of a public right-of-way in the MD zone would be 3 feet and 4 feet if they were within.
That was what I cited to
yeah.
you. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't see
the 20-foot setback. So you could have a smaller fence. You could have a smaller fence within the 20 feet.
But the reference to the front yard setback is the one that has the 20 feet.
It's in Chapter 10-11 under the MD provisions. There's a table where MD is identified. And also, I would say it goes to the definition of yard. And so we could provide that to you also.
Okay.
Because even though our electric fence ordinance refers to 20 feet, that's not the same thing as the definition of the front yard.
I assume Mr. Pei doesn't contest that. I just didn't have the backup for it.
No,
I assume
we'll get that to you.
A front yard setback of 20 feet.
Now the issue may be corner lot. What is the front yard? What is the yard setback? That's where you get not only the front yard, but you also get the 20 feet from the public right of way
because
that gets them on the corner.
Because it's a corner.
Right.
Okay.
Anything else?
No. Do you have any response, Mr. Pate? Would you like to say anything?
Yes, sir. Basically what we're looking at here is what is a non-conforming use. There is an existing fence that is fairly close to the public right-of-way. The fence will be slatted. It will be solid. The city staff has already admitted there is no danger to the public with these at all. One of the few things they mention is aesthetics. If you look at the photograph, I don't think there's anything that will do anything to the aesthetics of this lot except maybe a solid wall. If you want to keep the public from looking at that. But reducing the useful size of this lot is a hardship, especially if the client, Biggie Crane, has an existing business in there, has using the space in there, and now they're going to protect their property. They're required to rearrange the entire property is a substantial hardship, and it's not self-imposed. They came in, they set the business up, they have all of their equipment out there, has been out there for a while, and they desire security for that particular property to make sure that nothing else gets stolen. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Church?
Give them the last word as there's the right submitted on that for your decision.
Okay. I don't think there's any need to convene another hearing. I'm prepared to issue a decision. Having reviewed the memorandum that's been submitted and the exhibits attached thereto, and having listened to arguments here, including Mr. Pate's argument, have a couple of comments. One, initially I was concerned that Century... get the name of the company correct.
S-E-N-T-R-Y, Century.
Century Security?
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes,
I was initially concerned that Century Security didn't have standing to request the variance. Mr. Church has indicated that the city is not objecting to that. The statute, I will note, indicates that a person or entity desiring a waiver or modification, which is a variance, of the requirements of land use ordinance as applied to a parcel or property that he owns, leases, or in which he holds some other beneficial interest may apply. It seems to me that you do not own, lease, or hold a beneficial interest in that property. So initially I would have said I don't know that this is a proper request for a variance by the entity you're representing. However, you have indicated you have been requested to seek the variance on behalf of Biggie Equipment, and the city doesn't dispute that or contest that. So,
And I might add, if it was necessary, I could have very easily gotten a letter to authorize.
Okay. All right. So I was just concerned that we had the right party.
Understandable.
Here's my obligation is to abide by the statute. So I don't think that is an objection. With regard to the substance of the variance, I think the standard, you both have reflected the standard somewhat accurately. I think the first requirement is unreasonable hardship. And the law, as I understand it, which has been cited in the memorandum, and the case is actually cited as well, the statute is cited as well, an unreasonable hardship has specific requirements, particularly this entity, me, may not find an unreasonable hardship unless the alleged hardship, A, is located or associated on the property for which the variance is sought. I find that that's the case. And B, comes from circumstances peculiar to the property, not from conditions that are general to the neighborhood. I don't find that that is the case. It seems to me that this is a corner lot, which is unique in the sense that it's a corner lot, but not unique from any other corner lot. So the hardship that you're complaining of is a result of essentially a change in use. You want to continue the same use that you have been using, continued enjoyment as it stands, but not under a conforming use for which you're grandfathered in, but by altering the security arrangement, altering the fence and altering by adding an electric fence. You're certainly willing to do that, as I see it, but that's a change in use. So I don't see as it falls under your conforming use, and when you change the use, you have to abide by what the ordinances are. And this particular ordinance, of course, requires the 20-foot setback unless the variance is appropriate under the unreasonable hardship. But you know, the only hardship I see is of your own creation because you want to change the use. So it is both. It's both of your own creation or self-imposed, and it's also economic. As I see it, the only hardship there, and it may very well be real, but it amounts to dollars and cents. I think both parties have indicated you can continue to use the property precisely as it is there. So use and enjoyment is not impaired as it stands. But the changed use to have this particular sort of additional security is not a use of the property to which you're necessarily entitled, the way I read it. I would also say there's nothing particular to this piece of property that would indicate that it's an unusual condition. Again, it's a corner lot, but there seems to be other lots in the same circumstances. The final element, it has to do with the special circumstances, and I'll just mention one thing on that. Of course, it relates back to the hardship complained of, but the other element is that it deprives the property of privileges granted to other properties in the same zone. It would seem to me that the other properties in the same zone are under the precisely same restrictions that this particular property is under. They're free if they have a non-conforming use and they're grandfathered in. They're free to go ahead and use the property for the existing use. But if they, just like Biggie Equipment, seeks to change the use, then they would be required to upgrade to the new ordinance. I don't see that it's a specific or special circumstance that deprives this particular property user from rights or privileges that are afforded to any other property user in the neighborhood. And I think I'm required, I will issue a written opinion, a written decision. I don't know if Mr. Pate or your entities are represented by counsel, and we don't render advice, but there are appeal times and special timings with regard to when, if you want to take exception or seek review of this decision, and you should apprise yourself of those timings. Any questions?
Not from the city.
Okay. This hearing is adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.